I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Merry Christmas. If you've already opened your gifts, eaten a little too much, and perhaps had enough quality time with the family, what else might you do? Head to the movies. We'll tell you what's playing in a few minutes. But first, we go to the city of Lawrence, Massachusetts. It's just 30 minutes northeast of Boston, but it feels like miles away from a city known for its many colleges and universities. Lawrence, by contrast, was, in the 19th century, home to a community of Irish mill workers, many of whom came together in the late 1800s to raise funds for their own church, St. Patrick's Parish. St. Patrick still stands today, and it is still a place of sanctuary for immigrants, except that these newcomers are more likely to come from the Dominican Republic, Cambodia, and Vietnam. When Father Paul O'Brien was called to St. Patrick's in 2001, he was charged with trying to knit that diverse community more closely together. A new documentary called Scenes from a Parish tells that story. Here's Father O'Brien.
South Lawrence, where St. Patrick's is located, was traditionally an Anglo neighborhood. In the last 20 years, South Lawrence has become increasingly Hispanic and therefore mixed. How are people who do not like one another based on differences of language or nationality, how are they ever going to find unity? Anyone with a heart or mind would ask that question about Lawrence.
Filmmaker James Rutenbeck spent 4 years in Lawrence, Massachusetts, making the film. It will air as part of the PBS series Independent Lens, beginning on December 29th. I'm joined by both James Rutenbeck and Father Paul O'Brien, pastor of St. Patrick's. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Father O'Brien, I'd like to ask, when you were first called to St. Patrick's, what did you think you would find?
Well, when I came, it was with the charge of trying to open the doors to everybody. It was still a predominantly Anglo parish in a predominantly Hispanic community. And so my first charge was actually not to try to knit people together or even to bring about unity, but to open the doors to invite in everybody. And I presumed, therefore, I'd find a lot of folks who were interested in that and plenty of folks who were not interested in that.
In fact, I just want to play a short clip from the film of one of your parishioners, Frank Martin, who seemed to be working very hard in one of the church ministries, but he was very candid about the fact that he was struggling. He was particularly struggling given some of the experience that he was having trying to help some of the single moms, many of whom were Latino. Here's what he had to say. Here it is.
How can the fathers of these children abandon them so easily? I came home, and I tried to imagine something like that happening to me. And there was no way that I could. Is that part of their culture, to just up and say, see you later? I had a rough one with that.
James, you make the point in the film that this isn't just happening in Lawrence. In fact, it's happening, these kinds of exchanges are playing out not just in across the Massachusetts area, but across the country. Maybe that is, it is interesting how candid people were with you. They really shared with you some very deep feelings and conflicts that they were having. And I know you've been doing this a long time, but were you surprised by that? Did you have a sense that they wanted to talk to you about this?
I think so. The people in Lawrence are facing real challenges every day, and they have to do with very basic survival issues. And the other piece of it is that we spent 4 years there, and I wasn't there every day, but I was there with a crew very often. We spent a lot of time with our characters. We got to know them, and part of the process is immersing myself into their life stories. And so I just think over time that, you know, the awkwardness recedes.
Well, one of the central themes of the film, of course, is how are these people going to live together in this one place? And of course, they're not required to, which is a point that the film makes clear. I just want to play a short clip from one of your parishioners, Edna McGregor, and she talks about a phone call she made to you. Here it is.
When I found out that the Mass was being done in Spanish and English, I called and I asked to speak to Father Paul. He was on the yellow line, so I left him a message. And in the message, I put, Father Paul, if the Mass is done in Spanish and English, I wish you would get somebody else to take my place because I do not get anything out of the Mass.
What about that, Father Paul? What did you say to parishioners like Edna, who said, I don't like it. I don't like these changes. I don't want this.
I think I've told people that you don't have to be afraid that because new people come in or there are new realities in your parish that you're going to lose what's been dear to you. In a community like Lawrence, where there's been so much loss economically and socially, people are legitimately afraid of change. And so the best I can do is assure people that opening doors and having newcomers come in does not mean at all the loss of anything that's good. But that only goes so far, and I have to respect people's freedom to accept one another or not accept one another. Edna has, you know, stated publicly that she has left the parish, and she will come back to this parish when I leave. She thinks, I presume, that when I leave, and also Edna's a lovely person, and we could sit down and have a bottle of beer together, but she thinks, I think she probably thinks that if I leave, it's going to go back to what it was before, and of course that's not the case.
And of course, there's two sides to the story. There's the old timers who've been there, and then there are the newcomers. And Father, would you talk to me a little bit about what some of these people want from you and from the community? What are they looking for?
Sure, we're a 70% Hispanic city, and so folks are looking who are active in their faith already are looking for access to God and to one another in their own language and their own cultural traditions, as well as in the existing cultural traditions of the United States. They're looking for the answer to questions like Frank Martin said at the in the clip you played. They want to know, is this really part of our lives forever, that we're not going to have fathers in 75% of our families? They want to know, is there going to ever be a hope for us to be educated and not live in economic poverty? They want to know, are we going to get food to eat tonight? So in a community like ours, where we're really on top of one another and where the Catholic Church is the predominant faith reference point for people, whether or not they're baptized, people want to know everything about their lives. So whatever the challenges are for older folks, including the cultural challenges, we can understand those. For younger folks, they're also bringing all of their life questions to the church and kind of working out those questions within the faith community.
There's a storyline in the film that I think many people might not expect, and it's about Rosaura Vasquez, and at some point she talks about how she came to join the choir at St. Patrick's. I just want to play a short clip. Here it is.
The first time I heard them, I was like, oh my God, they're so awesome. I just loved it. They sounded so good. I just kept listening to that beautiful choir, and I'm like, what do I have to do if I want to join your choir? I never sang in an English choir before. It was the first time. You get so nervous when I'm going to sing.
James, why did you want to tell us Rosaura's story?
My co-producer, Angelica, had met Rosaura and suggested that I talk to her and that we maybe pursue her as a character. And Rosaura was one of those people who was very interesting. She had just recently arrived in the U.S. She came because her father asked her to come to help support them because he was being treated for cancer. She had to leave her Dominican Republic and all her friends and her life there and come to this new place. And she was a person that was definitely looking for a place in this community.
But and I don't want to spoil it for people, but Rosaura also does drift away from the parish. And talk about that.
Well, can I jump in on that one?
Sure.
On top of what James is saying, through this whole thing, there's always the question through the film about faith and culture. To what extent is my Catholicism about a real lived out and up and down, whatever it is, relationship with God? And to what extent is my Catholicism about culture, my way of life? So Rosa feels very comfortable at the beginning of the film with her Catholicism, because she's comfortable with the culture of the parish, even including everything James has just discussed. She's looking for community. It's offering community. I think she would tell you at the beginning of the film, her Catholicism has everything to do with real faith. In fact, I don't think that Rosa, she has family struggles, and they're all members of our faith community. I don't think her struggles are so much about life changes and the parish. I think they're about life changes and God and life changes and herself and life changes in her family. I can tell you the beautiful part is that whatever her active involvement is in the parish at any given time, Rosa really does know this is her family and this is her home. And I don't think she's ever I don't think that's ever drifted away.
Well, how do you think it's going, Father Paul? The central project, if you will, is getting people to love one another in community, as the gospel calls them to do. How do you feel that's going?
It's going great. I mean, we have in our tradition, people who are older than young children who are baptized are usually baptized at the Easter Vigil each year. We currently have 25 or 30 teenagers stepping up at every Easter Vigil to be baptized. In a neighborhood like ours with a gang culture and they're the toughest kids in the country, when you see really young people saying, I want to be of God and I want to be a Christian for real, you know that there's an awful lot of good going on. Whatever our challenges are, I'd much rather have our list of challenges with, again, thousands of people trying to work them out together and fight them out together than probably most other possible situations.
James, we only have a minute left, so I want to get a final thought from you. What would you hope people will draw from the film?
I'm hoping that people will come to a greater sense of the common humanity that we all share. And we are brothers and sisters, and that I want people to feel like they can enter in to that place.
The film is Scenes from a Parish, and it will air on the PBS series Independent Lens on December 29th. You'll want to check your local listings. Filmmaker James Rutenbeck joined us from member station WBUR in Boston. Father Paul O'Brien joined us from St. Patrick's in Lawrence, Massachusetts. I want to thank you both so much for speaking with us, and Merry Christmas to you both.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.